Okay, good morning, everyone. Very, very warm welcome to our first session back after our summer recess or summer break. Hope you're all keeping well. Good to have you with us. We've got an interesting week ahead, we have to say. We'll do a little bit of a recap in terms of a couple of the main features perhaps over the last couple of weeks. Do want to see where these markets now sit since we broke up for our summer break. So we'll do a little bit of, it's a bank holiday actually in the US at the moment, so we probably expect volumes to be relatively light. But we've seen, I suppose, broadly speaking, very little movement out of most of the market, a little bit of grinding price action in areas with one exception, and that happens to be gold. So good morning, everyone. We're going to ease ourselves into these financial markets. It's good to just do a bit of recap. We're going to be doing today a little bit of analysis around the real state of play, not so much the headlines and a lot of the fervor around financial markets, but actually looking at some of the data points and making, if you can, make logical conclusions and build them into your decision-making process, we think it's probably going to be of some significant use. Okay, so today now is Monday, the 1st of September. Hope you had a good little relaxing break as well. It is important to take your breaks from these markets. They can get quite intense, and if you find you take a little bit of a break, you come back with a bit of a fresh view, and hopefully that's what we'll demonstrate over the next few days. The whole idea of the session, as you know, is for us to be as prepared as we can for today's trading opportunities. So this is where we do our fundamental analysis. We look at risk sentiment. We look at the technical charts as well. And what we'll leave you with is a trade plan at the end that will guide us through these markets. We're building in all the good and all the bad, and we'll see kind of where we're at. And then we kind of adapt our strategy accordingly. So if you can imagine, if we put together a really strong risk on bullish market phase, we'd probably be looking for buying opportunities. The opposite is also true. If you build sort of a bit of a negative risk off market dynamic, then we'd probably be looking for selling trades in certain opportunities. So we're going to be quite specific in terms of determining what we're looking to buy, what we're looking to sell. And that's really where this session comes in really and becomes quite useful. Okay, so good morning, everyone. Welcome. So we'll start, of course, with our risk warning. Take a brief moment to familiarize yourself with our risk warning currently up on screen. And let's ease ourselves into these markets, shall we? So just as a quick introduction, then, all profitable traders need to consider, of course, you know, which markets to trade. So trade selection, we've still and will continue to have a bit of a strong US focus. It is the driver of all things economic, even if it's for positive and constructive reasons, or slightly nefarious and slightly more negative market dynamics. We'll discuss the Chinese conference currently underway and what that means really for the clear shift in I suppose global finance. And we'll discuss that, because it is important that, of course, if we're trading these dynamics, that we do understand the backdrop behind our trades. So trade selection, very, very important feature, as you know. Where do we then enter and exit these markets? Of course, that's your technical, that's your sort of trading strategy, so to speak. But in addition, you've got considerations around risk management. How do you calculate and hopefully mitigate risk wherever possible? Trade management. Objective number one for us is obviously to try and remove risk in our trade. And then we want to try to exclusively focus on trying to maximize profits. You know, some trades, it's a little bit easier than others. And then trading psychology. So that's just, you know, it's probably the wrapping around, you know, what trading is. Okay, so look, we adjust these considerations every day in our live trade rooms, and we're strong advocates of, no matter what's really going on, we want to maintain a high degree of consistency in our approach, accuracy with the levels we use, disciplined with our capital, and be patient as and when required, really. So we'll let the analysis dictate to us. So let's start with a review of potential market moving news. So I've already alluded to the fact that it's a bank holiday in the US. which just means that we're more likely to see slightly lighter market dynamics. So the first thing to do is just have a little look back really over the last couple of weeks, and there's been a couple of important elements. So let's go back to when we actually finished the week ending Friday the 8th. So we'll keep an eye on that August the 8th. So the first week of our summer break, we saw the RBA cut rates 25 basis points. So many of these central banks are still in the process of cutting rates. And I'm just only looking for, you know, significant headlines, really. We're going to discuss a lot more this morning during our European trading session about inflation. And as you can see here, inflation actually came in slightly lower on a year-on-year basis than what was expected. It was expected to tick a little bit higher. So we've got a lot of these major US data points, and we've got, I suppose you could say, a lack of clarity. So we're going to bring some, hopefully, clarity to the US inflation situation today as well. Nothing of any major interest. We had Trump doing what Trump does pretty well. UK GDP, a little bit of a positive bounce. Now, the UK has its own concerns with rising inflation, and you can see growth coming in a little bit stronger than was expected previously in negative territory, but we're certainly not setting the world alight on a growth basis, with some growing debt and significant concerns around sort of fiscal policies coming up or coming down the track, should I say, with the autumn statement coming up. Other US inflation numbers, like PPI numbers, coming in alarmingly strong. So we're seeing things like PPI, producer price index, coming in and really looking quite elevated. And these are a lot of the costs that underpin things like CPI. So if those that produce our goods, if the cost of their, you know, raw materials and things of that nature start to increase and look particularly elevated, then that feeds through into other inflation dynamics. And I suppose the one thing we can say about inflation is that we haven't really seen the Trump tariff inflation kick in yet. We were anticipating that we probably would do over the summer. We'll start seeing the reality of the policy start to kick in. What we now find is that a lot of these companies that import from abroad into the US and sell into the US have somehow found a way so far to kind of cover and manage those price increases. The question is, how long will they be able to do that for? And we suggest that we're coming to probably the end of a period where all the uncertainty has meant that a lot of these sellers in the US have got out of their way, you could say, absorbed the increase in tariffs. However, we've got a new round of increased tariffs across the board, and we would be very, very surprised if the business community in the US can see their margins take a bit of a hit and investor returns take a bit of a hit. We think it's going to start impacting consumers, if it hasn't done so already, if we can trust many of these data points, because there's a huge question mark over that alone. So a couple of other interesting data points. We've got a decrease in consumer sentiment. So consumers are getting a little bit more concerned, you could say. Still quite elevated inflation expectations. This is the University of Michigan. So you have this dynamic playing out, which is slowing or slightly lower growth and slightly elevated inflation. We're not quite in the stagflation category just yet, but you could see that perhaps the beginning of it is becoming a bit more of a reality. Okay, so There's other things like Jackson Hole as well. I forget the actual date of that. Maybe it's documented here. Elevated UK inflation expected previously 3.6, coming in 3.8. 25 basis point rate cut for the RBNZ. So there's a clear leaning towards still looking to cut rates. The Fed are in a slightly elevated position, you could say. And in fact, a lot of that has begun to evolve as well with meeting minutes due out. And we had Jackson Hole as well, for those of you that were tracking some of the news events over the last couple of weeks. And we've seen a bit of a reversal. So this is the Jackson Hole symposium as well. It's a three-day event. Yeah, okay. So you have your statement by Jerome Powell. We've got quite fraught tensions between Trump and Powell. Makes it quite interesting in many ways. However, we've seen a bit of a reversal from Jerome Powell and identifying that the worsening job numbers are leaning into the Fed potentially looking to cut rates. And we're going to do a review again today on interest rate cuts and how many we're likely to get between now and year end, with quite wide ranges, you'd have to say. So politically, it's quite fraught. Tensions. We currently have the China SCO, which is just a gathering of some of the more significant European and Asian entities like China, India, Russia, and I think up to 20 other countries that are increasing their cooperation, where China is looking like the elder statesman in the room, whereas you've got Trump and the US acting and behaving as they are doing. So you're seeing a separation from allies as we've previously known them, and cooperation from, you could argue, some of America's sort of biggest potential competitors, namely China. So again, interesting geopolitical dynamics underpinning these markets. Just last week, nothing of any major interest. Elevated inflation for the Aussie Australian economy. US GDP surprisingly higher than what would be expected. We're expecting a positive bounce as far as prelim GDP numbers are concerned. Previously 3%, coming back even stronger, which you could argue is a bit surprising. And we're seeing slightly elevated unemployment claims as well. We're certainly around the 230 mark now. Slight elevation there. And then that brings us to core PCE last Friday, which is the Fed's preferred inflation number. And that's coming in pretty flat, but still, if you average this out over the course of a 12-month period, you're still in that sort of 3.5% concerning element for consumer personal consumption expenditure price index numbers. So you've got this hint of accelerating and increasing inflation underpinning these markets. So that brings us quite nicely to this week. Now, I'm going to make a little bit of an observation. I'm going to bring up these charts very, very quickly. And what I want to do is just draw just a bit of a line really on the charts from the price where we closed on. And these are some of the largest markets, of course, US indices, S&P, NASDAQ. On the top right is gold. US oil, should I say. And these are all daily time frames. This is the gold chart along with the euro dollar and the pound dollar. And this just gives you just a bit of a basic understanding. So if we look at the 8th, which is we rack up here, aren't we? Okay, so just want to just put a little bit of a line where we closed, just to see the differential really in prices between over the summer, because we generally see a pretty flat summer period, and So this is not particularly scientific data, but just gives you a rough idea in terms of the prices where we closed compared to the prices where we're at now. Let's have a look at US oil. So where was the... Okay. So, and I suppose the point we're really looking to make is that we've had a little bit of movement and progress. Without that much movement and progress. So we've not really missed a huge amount. However, some of these prices are now looking really quite interesting to see if we get a next leg to the upside in the euro dollar. So the pound dollar, just to conclude, is that there, and where's the eighth? Right. And then this is the eighth in here. Okay, so there's one quite notable exception. If we just do a little bit of just analysis over the last 3 weeks, we certainly have a little bit of elevated price action. All of those geopolitical developments and all those economic developments over the course of the last 2 or 3 weeks. We've certainly got now, and you'd have to say just as of overnight, really, we've got making a little bit more progress there. Same with the pound to current prices. We're only a tiny bit elevated as far as US oil's concerned. We're down slightly as far as the NASDAQ, just a small amount. And gold is where we've probably seen the biggest move. You can see we kind of pulled back off the highs of the 8th of August, pulled back a little bit. And now we've seen this little quite sizable move. And you can see most of the excess to the upside is literally since midnight, since overnight. So where we're seeing a sizable rally. Now, we're very close to all-time highs in markets like gold, very close. Elsewhere, you can see there's a bit of up and down without that much clarity. Now, the reasons why we like that is what it's more likely to do for us is create, you know, support and resistance. We quite like sideways moving markets because they can, and especially during a period like the summer break. You're looking to really see if you can identify consolidation, because if we get a bit of a momentum move and a break away from these levels, we can be ready and prepared. Now, we've had a bit of a breakout above this sort of 2-4. We've had this strong level of resistance around 34.50, and we've broken through that overnight. Elsewhere, in terms of support to the downside, we can probably look at more recent lows. So you've got, broadly speaking, these lows in here, and you've got horizontal support, got diagonal support in there as well. Take these lows as strong support. So what we can categorically say is, if we look at the line at which we were at when we broke up prior to the summer, we're elevated in some areas, we're slightly weaker in others, and what we've managed to create is we've got some grinding price action in the US indices, I think that's probably fair to say, but what we have is a bit of a breakout as far as we're concerned, as far as the gold and other metals are concerned. So people talk about moves in gold as a hedge against inflation. So as inflation starts to creep higher, which it is, you know, are we likely to see a little bit of sort of concern and a bit of shift of capital towards towards gold. That definitely seems to be the case yet again. It seems central banks seem to be hoarding as much gold as they possibly can to kind of, I suppose, offset downside concerns with what's playing out. Now, it's kind of a worrying development in many ways, but certainly strong appetite for markets like gold. So look, we've got this consolidating market, slightly elevated S&P without making any significant move. You can clearly see that the market where we've made the biggest move is markets like gold. So I think it's fair to perhaps consider looking at gold in more detail. And really the level is the 3450 to the upside. So we've got a tentative trade plan as things currently stand. Let's edit this. So this is from just prior to our summer break. So mild risk on summer market conditions. It's very, very mild risk on. With a lot of so dollar weakness. Yeah, we're still in the dollar weakness camp. US indices strength and crude oil looking to sell off below 6,500. And it's really kind of struggled to do so. Now the trade is still there. So because we're just easing ourselves into these markets, so mixed. So we've got mix stroke risk off market conditions. Limited volatility. Yeah, back from the summer market conditions. It's kind of a bit of a thing. You know, you're literally getting traders coming back to their trading desks, key decision makers coming back from their holidays and looking to put their money to work, you could say. So let's have a look at gold by above. So we're looking to buy gold above the 3450. As you can see, we've already clearly made that move overnight. Now you'll be looking for a bit of a pullback opportunity to see if we can get into that. And again, it's probably quite relevant elsewhere. So elsewhere, we just really want to keep all options open. There's a number of areas of huge uncertainty for these markets. Now, we are, those of you that can join us for the European trading session, it's a bit of a bland, you could say, trade plan this morning, because we've got some very interesting discussion points to talk about during the European and US trading session. So if you can join us for that, do so. The trade that stands out, as we've sort of demonstrated, hopefully, is gold. We've seen a good rally above 3450, which is the really strong resistance level. We've still got all-time highs slightly higher above current prices. So we're between sort of a breakout to the upside and we're slightly below all-time highs. So we're getting into uncharted territory again for gold. But elsewhere, we can keep options open. It's a bank holiday in the US. If I haven't demonstrated, and to just leave you with the fact that we've got a series of US job numbers due out this week. So today, nothing of any major concern, North American bank holiday, of course, so slightly lighter market conditions we would probably expect. And then we start a series of US job numbers with job openings on Wednesday, ADP unemployment claims on Thursday, which is slightly later. Normally it's on a Wednesday. anyway, because we're clearly they need that extra time to see if they can try and get these numbers right. And now Trump has fired the guy who's the person responsible for these outrageously poor job numbers, which we'll discuss today in more detail. It's going to be interesting to see what numbers we're going to get first day back for the new the new person that's in charge of the BLS, Bureau of Labor Stats. So it's going to be just politically just quite interesting to see what numbers we get. If we can really trust these numbers at all, because they've really given us reasons to question the validity of some of these numbers. And we're seeing a bit of an increase in unemployment rate. So we've got a lot to sort of digest. That's our trade plans posted into the chat box. On that note, guys, let's wrap it up. Very difficult to sort of pinpoint a bit of a narrative in these markets as things currently stand. We're just sort of drifting, you could say. So we're looking for this money capital to be put to work, and that's probably going to be the next round of our trades, we would assume. So, first morning back, bank holiday in the US and Canada. We're not expecting fireworks today. We probably wouldn't imagine, but it does give us a good opportunity to just ease ourselves in and prepare for the week's job numbers. So on that note, any questions, reach out, let us know, and we'll see you next time. Those of you that can join us for the European trading session, we'll be broadcasting there in about a minute's time. Everyone else, thanks very much for joining us, and we'll see you next time. Good to have you back, guys, as always. Take care of yourselves. Bye for now.